Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
And welcome to this Sunday evening harvest service at Craigie Hill Presbyterian Church. If you're at home or watching online later, you are especially welcome. This evening we have honoured guests, special guests, who are going to help us through our service, and it's the BB Olds Choir. And we thank you all for your participation in our service this evening and look forward to hearing from you later. Don't forget to stay after the service for a light supper. We serve the tobacco with tea, coffee, and light refreshments. But remember why we're here. We're here to worship God. And in that, we will call ourselves to worship. And our call to worship this evening is from Psalm 65, verses 9 to 13. You visit the earth and the water, and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain. For so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Before we sing our first song, we'll bow our heads in worship and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and give thanks to you on this harvest evening. You are the one that created all we see and touch and smell and taste. You give us food to eat. You give us the joy of biting into a ripe apple, a plate of hot potatoes with butter, the Sunday roast. You have given us foods to enjoy from every part of your world. You could have made us in such a way that we did not need food, but in your wisdom you gave us a yearning for sustenance, for fuel for our bodies. As you are in constant communion with Father, Spirit, and Son, you know the importance of union with others. The joy you gave us when we share a table together, when the barriers come down and only to be replaced with laughter and camaraderie. As the Gospels proclaim, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You share your abundance with all humanity. When we ask for bread, do you give us a stone? No. In your grace, you give food to all. Let us remember you this day. Inspire us to remember that the world and everything in it belongs to you. How can we hoard up treasures as others starve? Forgive us for our selfishness and lead us to a place where it is a joy to give back and not to constantly take what we do not need. Teach us to be content with food and clothes, to take our share and no more, to remember those that have not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will start our service, our first hymns this evening. Now the congregation will stand and will sing praise this evening, followed by the first of three sets of hymns by the BB Choir. They will be singing the first one, which is Rachi, a Welsh hymn in English, and then we'll follow by As a Deer Pants for Water and Around the Riverside. So as we stand now to worship God, let us sing our harvest praises of thanksgiving unto him as we sing We Plough the Fields.
Thank you.
choir master. It's over to you.
Oh, Okay.
Let's give it a treatment.
Down by the river, down by the river, lay my burden down. Gonna lay down my burden
down by the riverside,
down
by the riverside,
down
by the riverside.
Gonna lay down my burden
down by the riverside,
down by the
riverside,
down by the river.
By the river, lay my burden down. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got
down by the river,
down by the river, lay my burden down.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Down by the riverside,
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace.
Down by the riverside,
down by the riverside,
lay your burden
down by the
riverside, down by the riverside, yeah.
Do we applaud in Presbyterian churches? I don't know. As many of you know, I haven't come up through the tradition of Presbyterianism or Protestantism, and I didn't know what to expect. I would rather sit down and just listen for more for the rest of the hour. Thank you very much for that. We look forward to hearing more later on. Thank you. But back to the service. And this evening's reading will be from Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30. It'll be a short reading with a short sermon later, a short message or thoughts for ourselves. But Matthew 13, verse 24. It's called the parable of the weeds. He, which is Jesus, put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does the weeds grow? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no. Lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. And may the Lord bless his word to us. We're going to continue now with our second set of songs from, let's give a few people a startle. I am only the ringmaster this evening. I was sent an order of service. And we will set up with our second set. Okay, over to you.
Three more pieces for you. The first is When the Saints Go Marching In. The second one is It Is No Secret. I'm going to join in on that so you can hear the quality of hearing you. I'll be conducting you, which will be good. And then finally, Hand Me Down My Silver Trumpet, which again you can join in on. Okay. When the Saints. Do we need your music or are we? Oh, it's, it isn't so good with music, yeah. Okay. Ready?
Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be there in their number when the saints go marching in.
When the saints
go marching in,
marching in.
Oh, when the saints,
when the saints go marching in, I want to be there in their number. When the saints go marching in, marching in.
Saints marching,
I want to join that heavenly band.
I want to join.
I want to sing,
I want to sing,
the gates waiting open. When the saints go marching in,
oh,
when the saints
go marching in,
oh,
when
the saints
go marching in,
I want to be there in their number. When the saints go marching in,
when the band begins to play, oh, when the band begins to play,
I want to be there in their number. When the band begins to play, hallelujah, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching,
saints go marching in,
I want to be there in their number. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in.
Thank you. He'll do for you.
With arms wide open, He'll pardon you.
It is no secret what God can do.
Hand me down my silver trumpet, Lord.
Wonderful. 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 Okay. Maybe you'll know this one. We're going to stand as a congregation now and sing our psalm for this evening. It is Psalm 93, and we'll be singing verses 1 to 5. I heard a whisper from one of the choir members. It's not too often a Presbyterian church still sings psalms. Morning and evening, may I let you know. Morning and evening, week by week, without fail. I don't even know what that word means. Oh, it's great. I'm really enjoying this. Thank you so much. Before we go into the sermon, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you gather us from many places, some from many nations, around your word to sing praises unto you. On this harvest day, Lord, we celebrate. We thank you for what you have given us. And in a small, weak token, we offer what we think is best back to you. But it's not good enough, and we know it, but it's the best we have. And Lord, you accept it. Father, thank you for creating us and making us your children. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again. And we thank you for leaving your Holy Spirit with us until you return again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is going to be a short sermon. This was meant to be a short sermon. Augustine once wrote, "Those who are tares today may be wheat tomorrow." As I was looking through the scripture that we were reading through about the wheat and the tares, I thought that was very poignant. Those that are tares today may be wheat tomorrow. Now, at first glance, this piece of scripture of wheat and tares, it doesn't seem to fit with harvest, but it does say harvest in it. But bear with me, and all should become apparent. You see, Harvest Sunday is a day that we allocate in our church calendar to recognize and give thanks for the provisions that the Lord has freely given us. We in turn bring some of our produce back to the Lord and we see it around us. We give it as a thanksgiving and then we distribute it to those throughout our community who have less than others. But all this is fine and good. But as we shall see, there are those among us and in the larger church community and in the larger church family, and they're not really interested in what they can bring back to the Lord in thanksgiving. They're more interested in what they can receive. See, this parable teaches us about good and evil, and it may always be found together. Whatever is good, you will inevitably find evil sooner or later. It'll always be found together in the professing church, as it was in the first century, as it was in the Reformation, as it is today. The visible church is a mixed body. If you were to imagine the church as fields upon fields upon fields, and every member of the church is a stalk of wheat throughout those fields, and they stretch off into the distance in every direction, it wouldn't be too long if you took a closer look to see an anomaly, to see something wasn't right, to see something that shouldn't be there. You'd start to see the weeds. You'd start to see the tares growing up through the wheat. They would be visible to you. There may be an odd one here and an odd one there. Or there may be clumps of these tares or weeds together with the odd grain of wheat or the odd stalk of wheat growing up through them. But they would be visible. Unfortunately, this is what Jesus has taught us, that amongst the wheat there will be tares. Amongst the fruit there will be weeds. You will find believers and unbelievers sitting shoulder to shoulder together every week, all mingled up in the fields that we call church. The best and the purest teaching of the gospel will never prevent this. I could preach perfect sermon, week after week after week, and it wouldn't prevent it from happening. And as I said before, it's been like this from the beginning of the church. Jesus predicted it. The early fathers and the reformers experienced it, and so too do we. There has never been a church that has been all wheat. Even among the disciples, we found Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. Satan has sown seeds of his weeds throughout the fields of God. Do what we may, we will never have a church that is a pure communion on this side of eternity. Tares, weeds, will always, always be found amongst us. So what do we do? If we go on an extreme offensive and try to tear these weeds out of the field so as we can obtain some sort of purification to show that we are the pure ones and our field is pure, they have no tares, and we can do this with great vigour and gusto and with bravado and pride, tearing out tares to make sure our field doesn't have any weeds and we are pure wheat. In our haste to do so, many stalks of wheat will be trampled, bruised, Maybe it isn't grown perfectly. It'll be ripped out. So when our haste to become perfect, we destroy some of the wheat around us. And if we look at church history, we'll see example after example after example of that exact thing happening. Many, I may add, in my own opinion, were orchestrated by tares and weeds and not by wheat. Along with the guilty, throughout time, the innocent were tortured, burned, drowned, and all manner of despicable things happening to them because they were called tares or wheat or weeds by those who professed to be pure wheat. As the church tried to uproot what was the tares, it damaged itself. It damaged those around it. And what good did it do? None. If anything, these measures of purity may have turned the public opinion against the church. Seeing how harsh it was towards what it perceived to be tares and weeds, as they professed to be pure fruit-bearing wheat. As I mentioned in the introduction, this time of year we choose to give thanks and to celebrate what the Lord has provided for us. This is the time of year in which we should be especially thankful that God has provided so much for us. The farmer plants the seed, and God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom all things are made, makes it grow. So why am I telling you this? What's this got to do with a harvest Sunday? In my journey with Christ, I have witnessed seismic shifts in how people view God. And in some quarters, there seems to be a change in how we worship. When saved through grace, one would continuously look at the cross. One would realize the depths of their depravity. They would be humble. And like a load-bearing stalk of wheat with fruit, it would bow. A sign of the redemptive nature of Christ would be in their lives. They would bring offerings of their time, their money, and produce. And they would do this as a small token of what the Lord has provided them. As many people know, one of my Bible verses, my main Bible verse that I got in me before I was saved, before I knew much about Christ, before I knew much about salvation, was Joel 2:25. And the Lord will replace or repay the years that the locusts have ate away. Locusts come in and they devour everything. They devour lives. Weeds come in and they choke up everything. They prevent fruit from growing. They prevent wheat from growing. They spread and they push out and they trample. But the Lord will repay those years that the locusts have eaten away. We see our humility and our crimes and the depths of our crimes against God. We see it as something terrible. The realization that every part of our nature is corrupt. You realize that there is not one part of your nature that isn't corrupt. But the weeds, they're different. The wheat, work and stand tall with a bowed crown in a field, surrounded by others with a bowed crown. Next time you're passing a field of wheat, ready for ripening, ready for harvest, look how it stands. It stands tall and it bows with the weight. It stands in anticipation to be harvested by the Lord as we wait every day for the new creation, for the return of the Lord. However, there is this other group of people, this group of people that are not submissive. No longer is the once and for all sacrifice adequate for them. They want more and more and more and more. It's not about giving, it's about taking. They go to church conventions and they see what they can get from God. They go to church to see what they can receive from the Lord. A revelation, a prophetic word, perhaps. Or a gift that I may do some sort of work within the church or within a wider ministry. They look to be healers or profess to be healers. Yes, I'm aware that God can and does do these things. He does give these gifts to some people. But these people just seem to want more and more and more. Their appetite never seems to be sated. When they go for prayer, they just don't want a prayer. They want a vision or a word. Would you pray for me? Sure. What have you got for me? Did the Lord tell you something? No, you asked me to pray for you. Do I believe these things can happen? Yes, I do. Do I believe it happens to every single person, every single time? No, I do not. They're always looking for a new, fresh, holy anointing. One that will do them until they get their next holy fix at the next meeting. They are emotionally driven. Their emotions lead them. Before I left the house, I don't even know why, but I hit TikTok. And somebody came on stage, and there was a woman saying, Jesus Christ is going to deliver you. Oh, we'll see what this one's about. And he said, my child has no brain, he's autistic. And your woman said, through Jesus Christ, I'm going to heal that generational curse. And your man starts flipping about the stage. And in such a convulsion, in such an uncontrolled state, he was able to do controlled front flips. And then when she counted down from 3 to 1, he was healed. The curse was lifted. Wow. I think we should get people like that and put them in the NHS waiting rooms. That'll get the list down. Always looking for a holy fix, a holy anointing, a spiritual thing, exciting. Mundane life with chopping sticks and fetching water is no good. Standing behind a plough or a tiller or behind the wheel of a car or a lorry, behind your desk, whatever job you do, it's not good enough. They want more. Many of these people have one thing in common. It's pride. They have pride. They have a certain pride in what they do. I can pray for you. I have a vision for you. I have a word for you. But it's not just for you, because we've got one for him, we've got one for her, and we've got one for him and her. You know, I'm a great healer. The Lord anointed me last night. I was so edified. Even their language is different. Rather than looking like a failure, they'll give you a word or a vision. And it might be one from themselves. It mightn't be from God at all. Or it might be from the deceiver. But rather than look like a failure, they'll try and give you what your ears want to hear. So how can you separate those who do and those who don't? Without rooting the wrong ones at times. It's easy to see the big weeds. Those on TV, the televangelists. It's easy to see those. It's not so easy to see the subtle ones sitting amongst us. Maybe there's some even here this evening, listening at home. As I said, this was a short sermon just to prompt a few ideas in your heads. And we look briefly at the parable of the tares and harvest Sunday evening. We discussed how trying to root out the weeds from our fields, in the process, the innocent get damaged. Those that do the weeding may become damaged. But when the weeds are allowed to run rampant in our fields, we think there's a danger that the whole field may be lost. But we are not farmers. We are stalks of wheat. It's our job to grow, to produce fruit, and to bow our heads to the Lord. Because at the end, the farmer will come, and he will pluck out the proud tares and weeds from the field. He will bind them up and burn them. Whereas the wheat will be harvested into his barn, where it belongs. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this evening service of worship to you, for giving us joyful songs in our hearts. How long many of us have suffered. But through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, many of us have experienced the promises of Scripture. Our barrenness has been filled, our years restored. For many of us, you truly have restored the years the locusts have eaten away. The fields of our lives are now bursting with abundance, so much so that we cannot contain it. It is easier to give away than it is to hoard. We thank you for the work of Christ in our lives and look forward until his return. Until then, we pray for those around us that may need prayer at this time. We pray for the situation in Israel. Atrocities have been committed by both sides. We pray if a nation cries out in remembrance, never again, may they be mindful and step back from the brink of destruction and show your mercy before they bring down the might of their army on a mainly civilian population. We pray at this harvest service that food, water, and electric and all services needed for basic human existence be restored. That your peace reigns throughout the region. Families are restored and puppet masters of destruction are silenced. Closer to home, we pray for those in hospital or ill at this time. May they experience not only the love of their families and carers, but of your Holy Spirit as well. We pray for our church as it enters into the winter months. With so much going on, the work is plenty. But let us not get caught up in the work and forget about you. Finally, on this Harvest Sunday evening, we give thanks for the gifts, the tithes, and the offerings, and abundance of food to go to help those that have little. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we stand to sing our closing hymn, Come Ye Thankful People, Come, we will remain standing at the end, and the BB Choir will sing their Vesper. And following that, we will have the benediction. And remember, there is plenty of food and fluids at the back, an abundance of so. So please stay behind. We'll stand to sing, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
Oh,
before the benediction, don't forget to stay behind for supper. And remember, today's tares are tomorrow's wheat. Let us pray for them. This evening's benediction is taken from Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19. May Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And all God's people said, Amen.